Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house, and into your bedroom, and on your bed, and into the houses of your servants, and your people, and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people, and on all your servants.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' Moses said to Aaron, 'Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile.' And he said, 'Tomorrow.' Moses said, 'Be it as you say so, that you may know that the Lord is, that there is no one like the Lord, our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile.' So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and land stayed. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said."
Okay. So, God sends Moses again. And what does he threaten now? Frogs. The Egyptian goddess of childbirth had the head of a frog. So this may again be something rather specific about the Egyptian gods. But can you imagine? Frogs. I don't know, what do you think about frogs? We had them in Brazil. Now they were not big ones, they were the little ones. But you really couldn't get them out of your house. I mean, there weren't a lot of them, but there were, you know, frogs here, there, and yonder, frogs and lizards. And, you know, they're on the walls and so forth, but I never felt one in bed or anything like that. But can you imagine, just they're everywhere. You know, you can't get away from them. These croaking, creeping, jumping intruders. And, you know, what would that do to you? You just had the frogs everywhere.
It would freak you out.
That's right. Whoa, this would have been the plague that would have done in, Roger. I forgot about that. Yeah. Roger had been Pharaoh, he might have given in on this one. Yeah, but you know, think about how repulsive they are, filthy. You know, everything you're doing, eating, sleeping, sitting, laying down, cooking, whatever, frogs, frogs, frogs. Even on Pharaoh's royal person in verse 4, you had frogs. They're everywhere. You can't get away from them. And when he talks about the frog, the Nile swarming with frogs, the only other time that verb is used was in 1:7 with the multiplication of the Israelites. You know, as they grew so rapidly. Now it's the frogs. And what about the magicians? How did they handle this? They added to this befrogged infestation. You know, they never seem to help. All they manage to do is make it a little worse. And this time, what does Pharaoh do?
Yeah,
go
the
in fact, not just telling Moses to take the frogs away. Yeah, he says, entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people. I thought he didn't know anything about the Lord. Think he's starting to learn a little bit? You know, I asked Jehovah for me. Maybe he's getting to know him a little too well. And what does Moses say?
When would you like it?
Now, why is Moses giving the timing choice to Pharaoh?
Confidence. Proving God is the one doing it.
Yes, because
he won't know the time in order to stop it. It's just going to be any random time.
Yeah. So it's kind of putting God under a handicap. It's showing this is not a coincidence. Or this is not Moses knowing when the frogs would naturally leave or something like that. He says to Pharaoh, you can tell me when you want them to be gone. God can do it anytime Pharaoh says. Isn't that amazing? That's really giving Pharaoh even greater opportunity to prove and know the Lord. What does Pharaoh say?
Tomorrow.
People take that differently. How do you take that?
Why not now?
That's the way I've taken it.
Didn't want to look desperate.
Didn't want to look desperate. Would you have said tomorrow? Why does he say tomorrow?
You can go outside and see the snow running around.
Well, that's going to be wonderful. Very pleasant.
Is he even putting them to the test? Like maybe they're expecting to say now, so like they have some trick to make them all leave now.
Yeah, maybe, Josh.
Maybe he wants to see like kind of what we all think. Maybe there was some natural cause for it that they would just leave.
Yes, I think he sets tomorrow, hoping they go away on their own, and he wouldn't be obligated to God. That's what I think. You can think what you want to. But by saying tomorrow, he sentenced his people to one more night with frogs. And the next day, God did, well, what did God do? Yeah, that was really nice. But what did that leave? That's a dead frog. They didn't all hop back in the river. They just died wherever they were at. And so now what happened? It shows it's the work of God. How would you sense that? Yeah, what happens?
It stinks!
You know, every time Pharaoh breathes, he remembers he's been defeated. You know, it's kind of a little bit of divine aid to his faltering memory here. You know, God sort of left his calling card a bunch of dead frogs all over the place. I mean, he did what he said. He they're gone, but their smell remains. It's almost like, you know, I don't know. To me, this is so much a God versus Pharaoh thing. It's like a boxing match. And, you know, God's got Pharaoh on the ropes. And he keeps him pinned up there, beating the tar out of him even after the bell rang. You know, he's doing everything he can to really teach Pharaoh a lesson. Pharaoh wants to know who's the Lord. Well, God certainly is going to teach him that. He's going to teach him that and teach him that. Just impressive to see what the Lord can do all the way through this. Who is in charge? Who is the real ruler of the world? Well, pretty soon, you know, God's got Pharaoh kind of like a yo-yo. I mean, he can do anything he wants to with it. And does. So it just really shows you the impressive wisdom and power of God. Comments and questions? Yeah, Ben.
I think it's interesting. I don't know exactly what to make of this, but with both the blood and the frogs, talks about it stinking, and the foreman had complained to God saying that you made a stink inside of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh really does make it stink inside of Pharaoh, but it's to show his own power.
Yes, good point. This is almost a reversal of how the Israelites stank to Pharaoh. Now the land's stinking to Pharaoh by God's judgment. Good point. Other thoughts, questions? Yes.
Now, are the people of Israel just watching this happen? Like, they're not affected by it, but are they watching these plagues?
I don't know where they were at with this, and we don't have any specific statement that Israel was exempt from this. I don't know whether they were or not. Some of the later plagues, they were specifically be told that they're exempted. So I don't really know where they're at in this. Yes, Tim.
I think with each plague, God makes it bigger and better, and there's this progression. The magicians that you can't copy, I'm kind of inclined to believe that they weren't exempt, so he can make them exempt in the future to kind of like layer by layer.
That, I think that's a good point. The plagues seem to intensify. These are irritating plagues. They're nuisance plagues. They haven't really killed anything. You know, a bunch of frogs everywhere would only kill Roger. And a bunch of seeking dead frogs wouldn't really kill you. They're just an annoying. So I think God, you know, he kind of ramps it up as we go from plague to plague. Yes.
Thanks. You see how literal God meant what he said in 6:6, that he was going to redeem them with an outstretched arm, and he tells him to stretch out his arm over the waters.
Yes. Yeah, good point. Yes.
These should be building confidence, too, among the people of Israel as they see God in charge.
Yes. Good point. It really does. I mean, wow, the Israelites ought to be trusting the Lord by now, if they're ever going to. Impressive, but. Yes?
Do you think maybe that's another proof in why they wouldn't have been exempt to the people that these things were happening, so that they could see them firsthand?
Could be. We're just not given a statement about that at this point, so I don't really know. I mean, what we heard earlier may be part of the idea that, you know, as the plagues continue, God makes it clearer and clearer, and so maybe that would be a reason for him to later start making the specific distinction to exempt Goshen. Yes, Ben.
I guess the point is made several times that God's trying to make himself known both to Pharaoh and to Egypt, but then also to Israel. What about God is he trying to make known? Because in chapter 6, it seems like he emphasizes, I used to make myself known as God Almighty, but not by my name, Jehovah. So what is it now when he says, you need to know that I'm Jehovah? Is there a difference?
I'm not sure there's that much difference, but I think for Pharaoh, he wants to show him his power and wisdom. You know, he outsmarts him, and he outmaneuvers him, outmatches him. I don't know, Nicole?
Well, I was just thinking about the whole Israel being exempt. I mean, at this point in time, Israel really isn't believing in God and trusting him to deliver them anyways. Like, they had doubted him, and they were kind of, you know, down on the whole increased labor. So, I mean, it's not like they were really blameless in all of this.
Good
so, point. I mean, these nuisance plagues, I mean, if they were included, I don't see that as a detriment to God's protection or anything to Israel.
Good point. When they became more severe, it specifically says they were exempted. So, yeah, it's a good point. Kelly.
Yeah, he treats them favorably, but they have no right or no merit on which to be treated.
Good point. I agree. Yeah, Brendan.
Well, it does make a distinction. Moses says, let my people go, and he says the frogs should go to your people's place. And then Pharaoh says, get them from my people's places. And Moses says, yeah, it's going to go out of your people's places. There's no mention of the Israelites except to say, let my people go.
That's true, although it keeps saying, on the land, covered the land. I don't know. I'm just not sure we can be sure about that. I've tended to think there wasn't a distinction. It's possible there is, though, for this voice. Yes?
I guess this is kind of a question to think about. We see a progression in how clear it is that Yahweh wins, and a progression in the intensity of it all. Why the progression? I guess there's lots of reasons you can give, but one I was thinking about is, if you didn't want to believe in God, if you're a Pharaoh or maybe an Israelite or whoever, that if you saw the first ones and saw how the magicians were able to repeat it and all those things, or you gave some naturalist explanation, that God doesn't give it so explicit that no one can resist him. He still gives it enough evidence to say, okay, you've still got to trust.
It's kind of a step-by-step process here from my perspective. So
not only is he wanting to just completely destroy, but it's also he wants to demoralize too. He wants to let Pharaoh flex his arm, show as much power as Pharaoh can show, and then God just completely blows it away.
Very good. I think we're going to cut off the discussion here so that we can go to supper. Michael, you want to close things off and get some discussion?